Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and Tommy and I are wondering if we're cursed. Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, man?
Not much, dude. Just a little bummed out.
I'm more than a little bummed out. So if you don't know what's going on, we are recording this on the 26th of January. That's a Sunday. We have literally just gotten the news that Kobe Bryant has passed away. Helicopter crash, because dude went everywhere in a helicopter because he was Kobe Bryant. And him plus four other people are confirmed dead. And that's awful. And we hate it because it seems like every time somebody big dies, we're on the air.
Yeah.
And if you don't like sports, you're probably wondering, why is this a big deal? Do us a favor and Google Kobe Bryant, and you'll pretty quickly figure out why it's a big deal. Probably the best known Laker since Magic Johnson. Definitely the most beloved, I think.
Yeah.
So there's that. And I don't know about you, but that's not where I was gonna go today.
No, not at all. Definitely, he has kids and he has a wife, and the whole thing's just terribly heartbreaking. And so, prayers, well wishes, good thoughts, whatever you do, to that family, because that just sucks. There's no way around that. It just sucks.
And he's like. He's 6 months older than me, which is kind of mind-bending.
Yeah.
We say it a lot, and I'm going to repeat it. You have kids. I haven't seen your kid in a long time.
Yeah.
I have nieces. We're around people that we love. Folks, if you got people that you love, you're around people that you love, you need to tell them because you don't know how long you got.
Yeah.
And, man, I love this job, but the fact that every time we crack open the mic, something big happens, I don't know. I don't know what to think about that. So we are going to try desperately, while we're watching the news and doing other things, to talk about something somewhat less depressing and be happy while doing it.
Yes.
So that being said, what's up, dude?
Not much, man. We've got hopefully a good show. We're gonna try to make it a good show. We've got lots to talk about just because it's been a while since we've talked. So several news bits, some next gen news, a few game delays that I think are worth mentioning here. Some Half-Life news.
Lots of Half-Life news.
Potential remake of a very beloved game. We'll see how much of it we get to. We probably won't get to it all. Just warn you now. So go by gaminguncensored.com and check out the show notes just to see those things that we decided to skip over. So, yeah, that's what the show looks like. How are you doing, man?
You know what? When you say that we haven't talked in a while, we say that a lot. But this time we ain't joking.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no idea what's been going on in your life. You have absolutely no idea what's been going on in mine. Yeah.
The last time we had a real conversation before right now was when we were in the same room together a couple days before the new year.
So, yeah, that's what the show is at this point, is me and Tommy sitting down and hashing stuff out on the air for you guys to hear, which is awesome. But yeah, I'm good. Everything's good. I haven't been able to play games in a couple of weeks. However, I have gotten caught up. Unless you've gotten ahead of me again, I have gotten caught up with Red Dead.
Very nice.
And that's awesome.
I haven't touched it for a bit, but I did play a little bit of that. So as you've seen, yeah, man, that game's so freaking good.
It's so good.
It's so good.
So good.
I just want to like. Just spend all my time. It's been a crazy couple of weeks because it's the launch of semester, and launches of semesters are always busy. This semester, hopefully, luckily, maybe, possibly, is a little less busy, and so I'm hoping to get a little bit more gaming in. It just hadn't happened the past couple of weeks because of that. But
more shows would be awesome. Let's do more shows.
Let's do that too. Yes, 100% agree there. I do have one other gaming thing I just want to mention to you really quick. It's just on my mind because we talked about it at our decade in review. I've broken out the quest here just a couple times. Haven't had much time to play with it either, but I did because I desperately just wanted to see what it would do in Link mode. Fired it up in Link mode, and things pretty slick. I was really impressed with how well the whole Link mode thing works. How relatively easy it was to set up. I'd read things, and I think we had talked about. People kind of struggling through it and having to jump through a lot of hoops. I really didn't. It was really get the cable and then plug it into your computer and go into the like interface on the Quest and just tell it to operate in Link mode. And then like I fired up Steam VR and Steam VR immediately popped up with the Quest as the device. Like just knew that was the device. Saw the headsets, saw the controllers, saw everything. Fired up a game and was playing from Steam. Again, I played it off of Oculus off my PC as well using the Oculus app, but was able to play all my Steam games. I didn't try all of them, but played a couple of Steam games of Steam VR using the Oculus Quest with basically no issues, and it looked great. It was fun and seems to work really well. So again, for the convenience, the kind of ease of use, the approachability, as we talked about with the Quest before, it does all those things really well. And as a PC-based headset, also works pretty darn well. There are issues with it. It's not the highest fidelity headset on the market. It's not the most comfortable headset on the market. But it's more than functional, and it's every bit still to me the quality of the first gen Vive that we have as well. And just very impressed with it. It did a very good job.
So, if you have been paying attention to the Facebook page, you know that there's been a 2-week long discussion going on about one of our guys prepping for VR.
Yes, and specifically for Half-Life.
And I actually had a discussion with him last night off of Facebook because he's really looking for information from people that builds, and that's you and me and Spider and a few other people. But what he is doing is different than what we've ever done, which I applaud this for being different. I think it's a little strange. But dude is By the way, it's Sam. If you know Sam from the Facebook page, Sam is building a VR rig and does not care about the mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
And somebody was like, so you gonna buy a monitor? Sam's like, nope. I'm using my smart HDTV, and I'm going, holy crap. So, yeah, we've never done that.
Yeah.
This guy is going to build a VR rig that is almost exclusively a controller. And the idea of playing Half-Life 2, which is what he has been playing lately, with a controller, makes me almost come unglued. Like, I'm sorry, buddy. I know you played it with a controller, but I got problems with that. That's
it does seem weird.
Yeah. It's bizarre. And if I am incorrect, sir, please correct us. But like, I really wanna do the old man thing, get off my lawn, because nobody should play Half-Life 2 with a controller, ever. But I'm not going to do that. He had a good time with it. He makes
me that's what matters.
He makes me want to go back and play it.
I know.
Which
you can.
Yes.
Because I'll mention this right out in the show notes, but just because we're on the topic, I'll mention it here. All Half-Life content on Steam is free, free to play until Half-Life Alyx comes out sometime in March. And so if you've either never played it, go play it. Or if you have played it and it's been a long time, which is me, this is a good time to go back and play it because it's all available to you for free. If you don't already have it, I know probably most of this listening audience probably already has it in your library, and by all means, go back and play it whenever you want to. But if you haven't, now's a really good time to, because you can get it for free on Steam.
One thing I would say, Valve, if you're listening, they're probably not. I've been praying for, you know, like 15 years that somebody from Valve was listening to this show. The only thing that is missing from that list of Half-Life stuff is the Black Mesa rebuild.
Yeah.
That needs to be on there.
That'd be cool.
You guys need to make a deal with those guys, and that needs to be the version of the original Half-Life that's on there, because that thing's incredible.
Yeah, I've never touched that one. I need to go play that one.
It's fantastic. It's great. Because it's the original Half-Life in the Half-Life 2 source engine,
yeah,
which is awesome. So that's one thing I would say that Valve needs to adjust, is add that to the list of stuff, and they could buy it in about 2 seconds and make those guys really, really, really rich. And maybe that game would finally get finished, because it's been in early access for literally 10 years.
Yeah.
It honestly used to be a mod. Like, you could download a mod for Half-Life 2 and install this. The mod doesn't work anymore because those guys want to make money, which is understandable. But it has literally been in development for 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's really good.
Yeah. That's so. That's fair. All that said, it's fun to play around with VR. I kid you not, the thing I did most, honestly, even though I fired it up, and I did, I'll mention really quickly, I'll have some more to talk about soon, hopefully, because I finally bit the bullet and bought Skyrim for the who knows how many time. Because the VR version of Skyrim was on sale for $18, and I thought, hey, that's close enough. I'm going to do that. That's worth putting some money down on. So hopefully we'll have some impressions of Skyrim VR in the next couple of shows.
I have to see that. I don't know how we're going to do that, but yeah. I have to see that.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. But I'll say the thing that I've spent the most time playing, again, not been much time, but what I chose to spend my time on with it, was Beat Saber. Beat Saber is just ridiculously fun. It's one of those things, and I felt the same way about the music games of Guitar Hero and Rock Band and all those before we actually played them. that was always kind of like, okay, I kind of see it, but it's not my thing. I'm not that kind of gamer, you know, like that weird like gamer superiority complex we can have.
I very much had that. You're like, I'm not a casual gamer. That's for casual gamers. Yes. And I'm not that guy.
I'm a sophisticated gamer, and sophisticated gamers don't play Beat Saber. Beat Saber is wildly fun. It makes you feel like you look like an idiot, and you know you look like an idiot, but you feel super cool because it's basically dual wielding lightsabers to music, and it's just really fun. I played some of that and had a really, really good time with it, and I understand why that thing is such a huge success in VR. It's super fun.
Here's the question that I have for you, because I've seen the game, I know how much fun it is, but I'm going to ask you the only question that really applies with Beat Saber. And that is, how much music have you bought?
I haven't bought any yet. just haven't spent that much time with it. But I need to, because like there's like the campaign mode, which I played some of, which is cool. And it's, you know, like it kind of teaches you some different mechanics. It has some different versions, which is fun. But it's all like their original music, which is fine. It's just, I don't. Like, it's not like commercial music. It's not something that you know or immediately recognize, and or at least as far as me knowing or reckoning, maybe it is, and I'm just old and out of the loop, and so I just don't know it. But it was, you know, it's just fine. It's just fun kind of play along to music. But I have played, you know, your niece's got like the Imagine Dragons pack, you know, and that's pretty fun because I know those songs, you know, and those are kind of fun, hypey kind of songs. I need to buy some packs though that are music that I really dig, because I think that will make it even that much more fun. Because part of the fun of the game and part of like playing the Imagine Dragons songs that's fun is that if you know the songs and you can kind of, you know, like get locked into the groove because you know the groove, it makes you feel both more accomplished and it makes it a little bit easier, honestly, because you're like playing along with something that you recognize. And so having that as one of the components in the game is cool. So I'm going to try not to spend a bunch of money on it, but I could see the temptation there for sure.
I'm so glad that you said that, because before the show, I'm killing time, and I decided to open up Spotify, and it's currently open now, and I hope something doesn't happen and you start hearing music, because it is currently open now, and I was listening to the album that they have put together of all of the artists up for Best New Artist tonight at the Grammys. That's tonight, by the way. And so I'll be flipping between the Grammys and Zion Williamson playing basketball on NBA League Pass. But that's tonight, and I feel bad as your friend and somebody who loves music, because I'm at that age where I don't know who any of these new people are.
My God, you're telling me.
And so it's like I'm listening through that record, and they, you know, each of them have a couple of songs. And if I like it, then I do the little hard thing on Spotify and then mark the album to listen to it later. And I've done that with a few albums. I assume that you've heard the Black Plums, I think it is.
Yeah.
Those guys are pretty good. I dig those guys.
Yeah.
But I'm the old guy that doesn't know who any of the new people are.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's fair. I'll tell you one that I've really that I've dug just finding via the Grammys is Yola, who is kind of Americana. That just super cool. I really dig Yola, and I never heard of her before seeing her. And that's kind of like in my current age, like that's a lot of the music I consume is kind of that genre. And so I was kind of surprised that I hadn't heard of her specifically, but I really dig her album. It's really good.
So here's the thing with Yola. She has a cover of Beyond the Yellow Brick Road, which I've now listened to twice, and I'm trying to decide whether I like it because I've been on this Elton kick for like a month.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I told you. Maybe I think I told you.
I think you did.
The Rocket Man movie, I saw that thing. That thing is fantastic. Yeah. If you have not seen Rocket Man, go find it on a streaming server somewhere. It is fan-freaking-tastic. So I've been on an Elton John kick for like a month, and she's got a nice cover of Beyond the Yellow Brick Road, and I like it. I really do, but it's not Elton. You know, yeah. Like there's just some songs that it's hard to cover.
Yeah.
And McCartney's that other guy. When somebody covers a McCartney song, I'm like, wait, what? That's hard to do. So I don't know what I think about that, but I see what she's trying to do, and that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So. 100%. It's fun finding artists like that, even if some of them I don't get at this point again. We're just old. Like, it's just the truth of it, you know? Like, it's just the point in our lives where it's just like, yep, music is passing me by, and I'm just nostalgic for the old days.
Again, to finish my point, I'm really happy that you feel that way because you're a guy that's in it a lot more than I am.
Yeah.
And so that you're feeling that way tells me that I'm okay, because I'm trying desperately to keep up, and you deal with it every day, so I feel much better as an old man. Yeah. So yeah, there's that.
Yeah, absolutely. All that being said, should we actually jump into some news?
Let's do it.
Before that, I always almost forget this part. Thanks to the Patreon guys, Cabbage Jose, Narc Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, and our boy Sam, aforementioned Sam. And so thank you guys a ton for your support. We appreciate it immensely. Go by the Gaming Uncensored page, gaminguncensored.com. Click on the Become a Patron link if you're interested in contributing to us over there. By the way, right now, I'll mention this again. It was out on the feed for our last little placeholder episode. The video content that we made from the Accessibility Controller 2.0 is up on Patreon. It is free for anybody, so you don't have to be a subscriber on Patreon right now. Just go by the Patreon page for Gaming Uncensored, and you can check out that video of us playing Toe Jam and Earl with Jamie playing on Accessibility Controller 2.0 to figure out what works, what doesn't work so well from it. We had a really good time, and I think that probably hopefully comes through on that video.
So I think you're going to love this. It's great timing because I sent 2.0 off this week to be made into 3.0.
Very nice.
And so when 3.0 gets here, it's going to be all in one box with one plug, which is going to be totally awesome. And you know that we talk about locking ourselves in a room a lot and just playing video games. When this thing happens, and when we're able to be in the same room together, y'all may not get any Gaming Uncensored content because we may be busy playing games competitively. We've got NBA 2K games to play. We've got hockey games. We got all kinds of stuff. If you don't know, if you're new to the show, Tommy and I are extremely competitive, and you probably haven't heard me curse at Tommy in the entirety that you've listened to the show, but that will happen.
Yeah,
once two words, controller.
I could get it out of him really quick. Two words.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it. It's coming. I know it is. I know it is.
And fade away.
Yeah, but see, you got to do it quietly. It's gonna be awful.
Yeah, that goes way, way back in Gaming Uncensored history. but a good time. And yes, we will definitely be having more of that soon, which I am very excited
about. And you know what I'm at? Here's what I'm happy about that I've been thinking a lot about that we have never tried that we have to try, which is baseball.
Oh yes,
baseball.
Oh
is
man,
gonna
that'd
be
a blast.
That's gonna be fan freaking tastic.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah.
So like. The next time that we're in a room together, we don't know when that's going to be, but if you don't hear from us, if you don't see anything from us, we're sorry. We were just playing video games.
Yep.
And speaking of that, we have some massive, massive games coming up. I'm jumping way forward in the show notes. And I'm kind of excited because I'm going to have the accessibility controller by the time they hit the shelves.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. That is exciting. So let's get into it so we can get through those things we're excited about. Looking forward to next gen. This is where we're going to start. And so because it's been a while since we've done a show, this is going to be some news that's a little bit older. But I think it's worth talking about more for discussion than the newsiness of it. And so starting with the Xbox Series X and some news that came out a couple weeks ago about the idea of generation specific exclusives now. And so Microsoft, and we've talked about this a little bit already with the Series X, I don't even know what to call the thing, the next Xbox, next gen Xbox, whatever we're going to call it, in that they're very kind of deliberately trying to move towards being a platform as opposed to a console, right? That it's the Xbox platform, that there's multiple members of the Xbox platform, but kind of getting away from this generational idea of what a console is. And part of that is this may be kind of strange approach in that Microsoft has said that they won't have a generational exclusive Xbox Series X exclusive games for at least a couple of years, a year or two into the Series X life cycle, that any games that are released during that time will also be compatible on the Xbox One. With the idea here being that the way that he says it specifically in this interview, you can go by and read the interview at the show notes, is we want to make sure anybody that's buying an Xbox between now and when the Series X comes out feels like they're making a good investment, that you're not buying something that's going to be irrelevant in 10 months or whatever. And so, that makes a lot of sense. And I get that. But it's also like, how do you convince people that they need to buy this new Xbox if you don't have system sellers as such that are specific to that console? It's a weird idea, and I can't decide if it's genius or ridiculous.
I think there is some key piece that we're missing, that we're not seeing, because to me, this is insane. This is what they did with this generation, and they're going to do it again. Like, I have no reason to buy an Xbox. There's absolutely no reason for me to go out and buy an Xbox. And they're doing it again. And I don't understand, other than there's some key piece of the puzzle that we don't know yet. And Sony is doing some of the same stuff with some of their biggest titles coming up. We have that in the show notes as well. And I don't know that I understand. And so I'm thinking we might just be missing something.
Yeah, that may be fair. We got interrupted really quick.
Just we did.
Can you say hi?
Hi.
Hey, little girl, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You like wrecking the show, don't you? Every time your daddy is on the air, you come wreck the show. I love it. I love it.
Now she's just chewing on the microphone.
I would love to see the face that I'm getting right now. I would.
Yep, there's buttons. Please don't press any of the buttons right
she's
now.
She's got buttons.
Yeah, there's a lot of buttons right here.
She can push them all, babe.
All of which could mess us up.
Yeah.
Say, Daddy, see you in a bit.
No. See you in a bit. You gonna go to the store? No. Yeah. All right, give me a hug.
That little girl, ladies and gentlemen, that right there is a little girl that loves her daddy.
Yeah.
That right there is a little girl that loves her daddy.
Yes. It's, it breaks my heart multiple times a day.
I don't think there will ever be a time that you'll get over it either.
Yeah, no. Zero chance. That will always destroy me.
It's amazing to me. Like, I knew we would get here at some point because now the entire show is off the rails. And I knew we would get here at some point where she could just walk into a room and it wouldn't matter if we had like an on-air sign or a locked door or any of that. She just walks in and it's all gone. And now we're here.
Yes.
and like, I don't know, like, we got to find a way to get in the same room and get on video because then it becomes immensely entertaining. Like, then it's like, hey, there she is, and they can see her.
Yeah, and she's the cutest human being that's ever existed, so.
Yes. Yes. And I really feel like that once they see her, people will just start paying to see her.
Yes.
Like, just give us Patreon money, and we'll put her on the camera because
that could be a rewards tier, just the Genevieve feed on Patreon.
Yeah, absolutely. We just get a live feed of the living room. I love it. That's fantastic. And when you folks see her, you will understand what we're talking about. That is the only little girl on this planet that the OCD-ness of both of us, and I have more and more of it the longer that I know you, will allow to completely wreck this show.
Yes.
Like, if anybody else tried to walk in, we'd have the door locked, everything barricaded because we're on the air. But that does not apply to her.
Yep.
I don't even know what else to say. She's fabulous. You people must see her.
All valid and true. So really quickly, to try to get back on topic a bit here. Going back to what you said about not having a reason to buy an Xbox, you're absolutely right. And I for the most part, feel the same way. We don't own an Xbox between us and at this point, not seeing a huge need to own an Xbox. However, I would say that, like, Microsoft still gets us, you know, like, we both have the Game Pass subscription now. We're using that to play games. Xbox is part of our platform on PC, and that's another place where they're working to get us. And so they're obviously taking a different approach. They're wanting to be something a little bit different than that just traditional console maker, where Sony feels, at least at this point, to still be doing that, of still trying to be that traditional console maker.
Sort of.
And Nintendo's been, yeah. Sort Nintendo's of. Been a different thing forever now. And so we're I think at this point getting maybe to the most kind of differentiation between the major console manufacturers that we've seen, and at least I would say in the lifespan of Xbox as a player, that this feels like it's becoming more and more divergent, that Microsoft is going more towards the services platform route. Sony's absolutely got that, but it doesn't feel like they're going down that direction as gung-ho as Microsoft is.
I'm wondering if it's because Microsoft feels they don't have a choice. Because I think with Sony has always been... that company with the exclusives, right? Like, they've always been that company with, hey, if you want to play this, you got to go here. Microsoft had that with a couple. They had it with Halo. They had it with Gears. They had it with, I can't even think of a third, but they've had a couple of their own. But that's really Sony's realm. And so I'm wondering if Microsoft finally said, okay, we understand we can't do that, so we have to go another route.
Yeah, I think there's definitely something to that, and not even as much in a like a negative spin way, but in a kind of like Microsoft feels like it's trying to appeal to. I mean, Microsoft obviously is trying to appeal to the gamers who either have the means to both play Sony games and their games, or to the gamers who don't really care about the Sony exclusives. Because let's be honest about Sony exclusives, is there for the most part, not completely, but when we talk about the big ones, God of War or Uncharted or something like that, they kind of fall into the same kind of general narrative-driven action games. The Last of Us, obviously, another one to put in there with that, all the Naughty Dog stuff. Narrative-driven action games that that appeal to a certain demographic of gamer, maybe multiple demographics of gamer, but there's an audience for it. And that's not every gamer out there. There's plenty of gamers that are playing Call of Duty. We'll talk about that in a little bit as well, or Fortnite or whatever. And if Microsoft can do a service-based platform that is going to meet those gamers where they're at, who don't maybe care that much about those exclusive experiences, it could be a big, big deal that this is a way that you bring those games to your TV screen if you don't want to pay for a PC, if you're not into the PC world of gaming. You know, watching that thread with Sam going through all the details of a self-build. You and I love it. Like, we geek out over that stuff. That's really fun. But I can totally see how a lot of people would not enjoy that in the slightest and would just be intimidated and not want to deal with that at all.
I honestly don't think that Sam enjoys the build part. I could be wrong. But I
hope he's having a good time with it, because like I said, I think it's really fun. But there's a bunch of people that's not appealing, and I get that, and Microsoft gets that too, and they can both be appealing for people like us who think that's fun, but also to people that are just like, hey, I want to be able to plug in a box, turn it on, and play a game, and I don't want to care about anything else. I don't ever need to care about what kind of processor I have or how much RAM or what kind of drive or whatever. I just want it to be current and play games. And it doesn't necessarily, I mean, if it's Halo, bonus, but if it's Fortnite and Call of Duty, which are also available on other platforms, but Microsoft has the service there, I think it's a wise way to go. Again, the idea of having no console-specific exclusive for that box for a year or two still just seems crazy, even if the like difference between, you know, Halo, what's it even called? The new, next Halo that's coming out. I can't remember off the top of my head. The next Halo that we know about. Even if like the difference between the Xbox One version of that and the Series X version of that is like massive, there's no loading screens, there's ray tracing, you know, like just blows it away in every way. It still feels weird that like you could get that game on the Xbox One as well, and probably a lot of people will. It breaks down my idea of what a new console generation is, having grown up in the world of console generations. But maybe they're onto something, and maybe it's brilliant.
So, I just came up with a poll. We haven't done a poll in forever.
Isn't that the truth?
And we may need to put a poll on the webpage and on the Facebook page. I'm wondering how many legitimate hardware whores there are out there. Because the best part of looking at Sam's build for me is I'm looking at it going, okay, what do I need? And the thing that made my eyes sparkle, which is insane, because there's nothing wrong with my rig. My rig is fine. Your rig is fine. We have no reason to upgrade, but he throws in an i9 9700 that has 8 cores. I'm like, crap, I only have 4 cores. I know, right? Like, I know you're the cheapest man on the planet, so you don't feel that way as much. But I'm like looking at his 8-core chip going, I need one of those. Like, right now, like, if somebody would give me some money, I would upgrade tomorrow because that sounds awesome. I wonder how many of those guys who specifically listen to this show are out there, and how many of those guys are like what you're talking about, that just like, I don't care, I just want to play games, which I think is where Sam is at. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. Sam is putting together a VR rig for one title. Yeah. And that's Half-Life Alyx. And so now I'm really curious as to how many guys are like us and how many guys are just don't care because Microsoft may have figured it out before we did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely possible. And again, I don't know if they're brilliant or crazy or some of both, but...
Can I ask you, because like I just did all of that, are you at the age where you really don't care? I mean, I know you like to build, but like I still love the hardware. Are you getting to an age where you just want to plug it in and go because of time?
Yeah, definitely there's a little bit of that, for sure. Like, I can see the appeal of it. Maybe that's the best way to say it. I don't think I'm to the point yet that that's like, I just want to plug and play and go kind of thing. But I could definitely see the appeal of it, of just not wanting to care about the stuff. I still find the build process so much fun that I'm looking forward to another build at some point, you know, like not yet, but whenever it needs to happen, I'll tell you when it's gonna happen
about May. It's when it's going to happen, so...
Yeah, it's coming. But I see the appeal, for sure. So, continuing on here and kind of transitioning into the next story, Microsoft is doing something here that's more conventional that Sony is not doing, and that's around E3. And so Sony has announced that they will not participate in E3 again this year. They didn't last year. And of course, the PlayStation 5 now is going to be here before the next E3. It'd be here by the end of the year, supposedly, as long as there's no delays or anything like that. And I've thought for sure, Sony skipping E3 last year, I was like, okay, well, they're going to come big in 2020 because they'll have new hardware and they're going to want to push that. But the truth is they're going to want to push it on their own terms and they don't want to be kind of locked into E3. Microsoft has confirmed that they will be at E3, that they're going to be doing the E3 thing. And so for you and I and people like us who cover E3 and geek out over it and have for 20 years, that's really good for Microsoft. Microsoft is going to have a lot of space that week when we're all paying attention. But the truth is that whenever Sony wants to do a big dump of information and video and demos of the PS5, we're going to be paying attention too. Like, it doesn't matter when they do that, they're going to get our attention when they do that. And so it make a lot of sense for them not to be at E3. But E3 is going to be a boon for Microsoft, it feels like.
We will be paying attention, but you know what happens to me with the state of plays or whatever they are? I miss them. Like, they happen, and somebody says, oh, this happened, or you text me and say, hey, did you see all these games? And I'm like, hey, where'd those come from? And then the replays seem to be hard to find.
Yeah.
And again, maybe I'm the old guy that just doesn't understand how to do it, but they always seem to happen while I'm at work or at church or somewhere where it's not conducive to do that. And I'm the one guy in the building that is not glued to his phone all day, every day.
Yeah.
So that's my problem with the state of plays is I tend to miss them and then catch up later because we have to talk about it on this show.
Yeah, that's fair. I would imagine, I don't know this for sure, but I would imagine that whenever Sony decides to do their big PS5 reveal, it's going to be a big deal. Like, I imagine it's going to be, you know, an E3 press conference-like thing, you know, a step up from the normal kind of state of play thing, that they'll be pushing it hard and we'll know that it's coming so we can prep for that. But you're absolutely correct. I'm the same way with State of Play or Nintendo Directs or anything else. The culture, I hadn't realized this until watching Twitter recently. The culture around Nintendo Directs is nuts. People are like crazy about Nintendo Direct. And I'm always like, oh, cool, a Nintendo Direct happened. You know, like unless it's like software I'm really interested in, I'm like, okay, I'll go get the highlights from it afterwards. Just like you were just saying, like it's something that I'm often not aware of in the moment that it happened. But like people anticipating, like just watching on Twitter, like people know that Nintendo usually announces at like 10 a.m. on Mondays that they're going to have a Nintendo Direct on Wednesdays, I think. I don't even know when they happen. But there are people that are, like, watching, you know, Twitter, Nintendo's Twitter feed, like, every Monday morning to see if they announce a Nintendo Direct. It's just nuts. Just part of the gaming culture I've just not been super aware of, which is cool. Love it, but just blows my mind.
Man, we're old.
We're old.
I mean, like, I hate to sound like those two guys, but we are. We're old.
Yeah. You want to be curmudgeon-y some more?
Yes!
All right. Let me give you the top 10 selling games of the last decade, since we've been looking at stuff. Just fits right in with our theme of being curmudgeon-y old dudes at this point. Here are the top 10 selling games between 2010 and the end of 2019. Number one is Grand Theft Auto V.
Right.
Not surprised there, right? That makes a ton of sense. We all knew that. Number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 are Call of Duty Black Ops, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, Call of Duty Black Ops 3, Call of Duty Ghosts. Number 7 is Red Dead Redemption 2. Number 8 is Call of Duty World War 2. Number 9 is Call of Duty Black Ops 4. That's not how you do a 4 in Roman numerals, but whatever. Number 10 is Minecraft. So of the top 10 games of the 2010s, all but 3 of them are Call of Duty games. Of the 3, 2 of them are Rockstar games. That's just nuts, right? Like, that's nuts that 2 developers are so dominant, and specifically one game franchise in Call of Duty is so dominant in video game sales. Like, I'm not even surprised by those are the games, but still, it just blows my mind. Just crazy.
Freaking crackheads.
Right.
Like, I don't, like, okay. Call of Duty is great. And if you played any of the last 3 or 4, their stories are really good. I'll admit that, because I happen to have seen a couple of them, at least a couple hours worth. They're really good. But they're not Red Dead good.
Yeah.
They're not Grand Theft Auto good. And they take up how many slots on that list?
7 of 10. And I'll go ahead and go through 20, because this list goes all the way through 20. There's 3 more Call of Duty games between number 11 and number 20. 11 and 12 are Call of Duty Advanced Warfare and Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2019. Who knew? And then number 15 is Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. 16 and 17, right after that, are Battlefield 1 and 4, where, you know, another kind of similar game gets on the list. 13 is Skyrim. 14 is Mario Kart 8. 18 is Destiny. 19 is Breath of the Wild. And then 20 is Star Wars Battlefront. So it's until Mario Kart 8 at number 14 that you get a title that's console exclusive, that's exclusive to the Switch. Nintendo has 2 with that and The Legend of Zelda. Everything else on the list is multi-platform. So kudos to Nintendo for having 2 exclusives on the list. That's pretty impressive, all things considered there.
It's so hard for me to fathom that Call of Duty has that many slots. You know what else is crazy to me? You read off 20 of those slots. There's not a Madden game in there.
Yeah.
There's not a sports title of any kind. There's not a FIFA title. There's not a Madden. It's all Call of Duty.
All Call of Duty.
And that tells me, and we talk about this a lot on this show, and I'm going to get off being the commercially old guy for a minute. There's a whole lot more people playing multiplayer than there are people like us.
Yes.
Because they're not playing those Call of Duty games for the campaigns.
Oh, yeah, right. they're
playing that for multiplayer. So there are so many more people out there playing multiplayer games than there are people like us, and that's why that list looks the way it does.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, okay.
it is what it is. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to yeah, it is the gaming industry. We represent one. I'm feeling increasingly small part of the industry. But the part of the industry that we love is Grand Theft Auto 5, is Red Dead Redemption, is Skyrim, is Mario Kart. I'll throw Mario Kart in there at least.
Yes.
Is Breath of the Wild. And so the two best games that came out the last decade to me are Breath of the Wild and Red Dead, or three games, Skyrim and Red Dead 2. So they're all on the list, which is pretty great. But man, that's just crazy. Oh, I guess The Witcher. That's the one I was missing in there. Witcher, not on the list. Interesting. Has had a big revival recently. I'll mention this really quick because it's in the show notes.
Segway!
The Witcher TV show on Netflix has been a huge boost for the Witcher video game. Seeing its Steam playtime go up exponentially. And so I would guess there's a lot of devs looking at this, or a lot of publishers looking at this and saying, hey, if we can make a TV show that's at least halfway decent, that may really help our game franchise. And so I would suspect that we're going to be seeing more video game TV shows in the success of The Witcher as a TV show in and of itself. But then how it also gave a big boost to a game that's been out for several years at this point and bringing people back into it. So and I have one episode left, I think, on the first season. It's good. I dig it. It's not the best TV show I've ever seen. And if I didn't already love The Witcher as a franchise, I don't think I would probably have gotten into it nearly as much. But loving The Witcher as a franchise, it's fun. I really enjoy it. And so I would love to see other video game franchises try to do that similar kind of adaptation and hopefully pull it off at least at that level of success, if not better.
So a couple of things on that. Can we both agree that while Netflix has lots of good, solid content, The Witcher being part of that, that they have much, much less really, really, really stellar content?
Yes.
Like, most of what is on Netflix is just sort of like, okay. And the thing that terrifies me about this is if we got devs seeing this and saying, hey, we can just make a TV show on Netflix and it'll drive people to our game, we're going to get a whole lot of crappy TV shows.
Yes.
Because because The Witcher is good, but like you said, it's not great. Like, yes. That's the next thing on my list. I have one episode left in Jessica Jones season one. And then I'm going to The Witcher. Let me just tell you, Jessica Jones season one is screwed up.
It is. Like, it's so good, but it is, yeah.
That is some messed up stuff right there. And that's the cleaned up on air, the way we put that. So I've got one episode of that. Then I'm going to The Witcher. Then I'm going to Daredevil season two because I'm trying to watch all the stuff in all the Marvel stuff in order.
Yeah. Both of those also highly messed up.
Yes.
You just prepare yourself.
Yeah. So here's what I'm thinking about this whole idea is that, yeah, it may drive people back to the game, but if you expect that to work, your game has to be on the level of The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
Like, if The Witcher 3 wasn't as good as it is, people wouldn't be diving back into it. I'm trying to think of a game that it doesn't really, I don't think would have this effect. Like, you can't make a Rocket League TV show right, and expect that will drive people back to your game. You just can't.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's definitely a select few games that's going to work well with. I would even say like something like Grand Theft Auto we just talked about. I wouldn't be super interested in seeing a Grand Theft Auto TV series.
That's a bad idea.
You could do an Elder Scrolls World TV series and it'd be pretty cool. You know, like, I think that's one that could work. Elder Scrolls needs more content at this point necessarily, but it's such a rich and established world that you could easily do something in that realm that could be really fun.
I agree. And one that I'm excited about in that realm, I know you read a lot of fantasy novels and you have not gotten around to this yet. I've been telling you for years about the Wheel of Time.
Yeah,
and it's like on Tolkien level. Like, if there's the Lord of the Rings and the Wheel of Time, that's it. That's the list. And sometime this year, Amazon is releasing the Wheel of Time, Eye of the World, which the first season revolves around what is essentially the first book in a 14-book series. So I'm really excited about that, but I'm totally aware that compared to the books, it's probably going to suck.
Yeah.
You know?
Of course.
So there is stuff like that out there, but you're right. They have to be very, very, very careful about which ones they pick and choose to do.
Yeah, 100%. Really quickly, just squeeze in a couple of more things here before we finish up. A couple of delays that have happened. No big shockers here. But the March and April that was is now no longer the big March and April. It's the big 2020 because it's all been spread out. The first big, big one is Cyberpunk 2077 has been pushed back till September, which... cool. I'm fine with. Don't have a problem with that at all. However, and this is the story that's on the show notes, if you go by there, that you'll see that they're saying that the devs will still have to crunch to get it done by September. We've heard so many stories about kind of the terrible working conditions of getting some of these games out on time. Like, I get it. And like, I'm not opposed to working overtime to get something out or whatever. Like, I work way too much. And so I understand that mindset. But please, CD Projekt Red, treat your people good. That's really what I care more about in this process, is that like those people are not getting abused in their jobs. And so if you got to delay it even longer to make sure people aren't completely taken advantage of and burned out, by all means.
Can I make a suggestion?
Huh.
If we're pushing it back to September anyway, just push it back to December.
Yeah.
That would be a great, great, great holiday season game.
Absolutely.
I don't even care. Push it back to December.
Yep.
Because the more that you push it back, that delays the time that I have to worry about putting together a new rig. Because yeah. I hate to admit this, but Cyberpunk is going to be that game that makes both of us upgrade.
Yeah.
That's insane to say, but that's the title that will make us both upgrade. So if I get to wait, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the people who are going to play that game are going to be here. So don't worry about us, you know? Like, make the game good, but don't kill people to do it. Similarly, the Final Fantasy VII Remake has also been delayed a little bit less. It is now moved to April 10th. And so that's only about a month different than what it was originally. Also, cool. Great. It gives me a little more time to prepare for it. But all those games that we were talking about, The Last of Us in that same category, all have been pushed back. And so we'll see them soon enough. Really quickly, I want to drop this one in here because I kind of want to get your thoughts on it. I have strong thoughts on it. There's a rumor floating around that EA is doing a remake of Knights of the Old Republic.
Okay. I read this. You want to know what my first thought was?
Huh.
And this is so old, man. And I'm so sorry. But that game's great. I don't want a remake of that game. I want a new game.
100%.
Like, I don't want to play a prettier version of Knights of the Old Republic. Like, if you insist on making it, then great. But I would much rather have Knights of the Old Republic 3. And if you're going to make a remake, it better be freaking on Game Pass or Origin, because I'm probably not buying that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's I think that's completely fair. That was exactly my thought. Like, give me a new Knights, because that's a great franchise. That it is a fantastic game. The first one, the story is great. But man, just give me a new one. Just give me in that world, but give me a new game in that world. Is that we'll see. A couple of games coming to PC, or at least one that is coming, is almost assuredly coming to PC, and another that is rumored to be as well. Horizon Zero Dawn, a PlayStation exclusive, is likely, according to sources, coming to PC, which feels like a really big deal, because those PlayStation exclusive games don't land on PC all that often, not never, but this is a fairly big deal. The other game that there's maybe even a longer shot rumor about, but due to a job listing, which is how a lot of these rumors kind of get started, The Last of Us 2 may also be coming to PC, showing that Sony also potentially wants a piece of that PC market that Microsoft has been jumping on. And so I don't know. Those both seem like really, really big deals on PC to me.
They're really, really big deals, but they're only really, really big deals if they are good ports.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I want them both on PC, because that means I don't have to buy them on PlayStation. However, I'm about to have an accessibility controller. So if you want me to buy it on PC, A, it's got to look better than it does on the PlayStation, and B, the mouse and keyboard better work.
Yeah, and those are both games that feel like that would be a challenge, right? Like,
yes.
Both The Horizon and Last of Us feel like very controller-centric games. Yeah, I don't know. I love it just as a, hey, I think it's good for those games to be on that platform. Yeah, I don't know that ports of those games on that platform are going to be great unless you play them with a controller. And by all means, that's a perfectly valid way to play games on PC, Sam. Hardcore PC gamers want that solid mouse and keyboard support. Yeah, it might be a long shot.
To me, it's like, if that's not there, it's them saying, hey, here's a place we can put our stuff and make more money. And I feel like if that's your attitude, you're probably going to screw yourself over. Because if you put it on PC, the people that really want it to play well on the platform that they're used to. Like, the idea of, and this may be an old man thing and we're out of time and I ain't understand this, but I'm going to say this anyway. The idea that I have a $2,700 PC here that I love, which, by the way, Sam's PC that he's building is a beast, and it's like $400 cheaper than what I spent, which is insane.
Yeah.
That just shows you that prices come down. But the fact that you take the time to build this box and then to play these games that we're talking about optimally, you have to have a USB cable and plug a controller into the box. That makes a little part of me die inside.
Yeah.
Like, am I being overzealous there, or do you feel the same way? Because if I have this box and I have to plug a controller into it to really get the most out of your game, then why didn't I just go to Best Buy and buy a branded box that says Xbox or PS4?
Yeah. That's fair. It's 100% fair. there's just always something different about the PC gaming and the world of games that only work well on PC, and I think those will always exist. It just, to me, opens up the people who can play your games in the same way that we're like, why do we need an Xbox when we can play all the games that we really want to play that Microsoft does on PC? But that is still beneficial for Microsoft for lots of reasons we can get into. Sony would like to capitalize on that. I'm sure they're probably not going to be massive sellers on the PC, but it is an audience that maybe hasn't ever experienced their games before. Maybe they're thinking, hey, if somebody gets a taste of The Last of Us, maybe that makes them want to pick up a PlayStation that otherwise they wouldn't have. It feels like such a niche part of the community that is probably for our world, because we're in those niches. We care, but for the vast number of gamers out there, probably doesn't make a blip on their radar.
I
will say there are a couple of games that are huge on Steam that I wouldn't think would be great for PC gaming. Monster Hunter World, Sekiro, which is a big deal on Steam. Like, those are games that I think are like, oh yeah, those feel like console titles that are big deals on Steam. And so maybe those kind of games can work. Maybe you can pull them off. I don't know that. I'm ignorant about this. I don't know that people play Sekiro via mouse and keyboard or via controller or there's some both or how that works or whatever. But I do know it's always a high on the list of games selling on Steam.
Can I ask you a Red Dead question?
Huh.
I had the opportunity over Christmas. We haven't been on the air so long. We haven't even talked about this. But if you weren't paying attention to the Facebook page, Epic had a massive, massive holiday sale that in my mind overshadowed Steam because of what they did. And you and I spent a lot more money there than we intended to.
Yeah.
Because of what they did. Basically, short and sweet, they discounted all the games just like Steam does. And they said, hey, we'll give you $10 on top of that. So whatever the price was, you slash that by $10. And it went on for like 2 weeks. Like, you could really, for 2 weeks, save a whole bunch of money on every game on the Epic Games Store. Like, even the ones like Detroit that weren't really on sale were still cheap because of the $10 discount. So my Red Dead question to you is, I did not purchase Red Dead during that sale because A, I think it's still broken, and B, I can't get in my little brain how Red Dead could even remotely be good on a mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
I can't even, like, I'm trying to figure out how it might work, but I just can't see it.
Yeah.
And the more that I watch you play Red Dead, I honestly can't really tell, especially when you're on the horse, when you're playing and when you're not. And that tells me that by default, Red Dead is a console game, because you're riding along there and there's some of those things that I'm like, okay, is this the game doing this, or is Tommy running this? And it just feels like to play that game successfully, you have to have a controller. That's why I haven't bought it yet. I should have bought it 6 weeks ago and I haven't, because I know to get the most out of it, I have to have an accessibility control. And if that's the case, I have a PS4 sitting right here.
Yeah.
So your thoughts on that?
I would agree. It very much feels like a console title. It's the same thing with Grand Theft Auto. I just can't imagine playing a Grand. I have played Grand Theft Auto on the PC, so I can't imagine it because I've done it and I didn't like it. So Red Dead feels very much the same way, and the controls are so clunky anyway with that game. Again, maybe the biggest issue overall with that game, and you get used to it after a while and all that stuff, and I get that. But it feels like it would be relearning it if you've played it on a console and then go into the PC and you're just going to be frustrated. Or at minimum, you're just going to be frustrated with it because it's already frustrating to start with. And it's going to be on a worse platform for it. And so it's going to be more frustrating. Yeah. It's a console game. To me, the only benefits, obviously, is with however much the modding world comes into play. It's always been a little bit of that, not a ton of that with those Rockstar games. And so... that's maybe something that kind of sways you, but it's not enough in that for Rockstar games to me to justify that. Yeah.
The other thing for buying it on PC is the visual fidelity.
Sure.
But I don't even think they really have that down because from everything I read, it's still broke.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Rockstar has a hard time of getting these games on the PC. It's a big deal, again, like we were talking about with Sony games. It's a big deal when those otherwise what we consider console games come to the PC. But this is also a good example of where sometimes, even though overall, I think it's a net positive for the gaming world that those games exist on PC, doesn't mean that you need to go play them on PC. Like, if that's your only way to play Red Dead 2, by all means, go play Red Dead 2 because it's a phenomenal game. If you don't have a PlayStation or an Xbox, never going to buy one of those consoles, but you want to play that title, like, great, now you have an option to. But if you do have a console and you have the option to play it on a console, I think it's probably worth playing on a console.
And I... Right now, I'm glad that the 3.0 is coming and that I have a PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
I'm wondering when 3.0 gets here. I love that that's the new name for the controller, by the way. I'm wondering if when it gets here, that's going to drive me to go pick up a PlayStation 4 Pro.
Yeah.
Like, I have this big monster rig in my PC sitting here, but that's my other question with Red Dead. Are they even going to be able to use the power of God?
Yeah.
So I can see myself being inclined to pick up a PlayStation 4 Pro, and as the other half of this show, you're like, yeah, go for it, dude, because then we have one.
Yes.
So... I don't know. It's a weird place to be.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Really quick, we need to wrap up. I just want to throw this in because we do releases. Not a ton going on, but two I want to point out on PC that are interesting. First is Frostpunk has a paid-for DLC. Frostpunk, super cool game, and we dig those guys a lot. But the other one I'm really intrigued by is The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners is the VR Walking Dead game. And I can't decide whether or not I really want to play this or I really have no desire to play this. Right now, the reviews on Steam are pretty positive, which is encouraging. But man, The Walking Dead in VR just sounds horrifying.
one word for you. You ready?
Yep.
Nope.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing. I ain't playing Resident Evil 7 in VR.
Yeah, I love the idea of it. I don't know that I have the guts to do it.
By the way, we still have to play that.
Yes, we do.
We talk about getting in the same room and locking ourselves in the room except for the little girl. The game at the top of that list, I think, is Resident Evil 7. That's the big
so
title that we neither one of us has really seen.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's definitely one of them. There's just a bunch. You know, like there's just a bunch. So anyway, go by the show notes, gamingcensored.com. We definitely missed some stuff, so go see the things that we didn't get to.
And I want to personally apologize because we haven't been on the air in so long. that I have literally forgotten how to do the show, and I'm kind of critiquing myself as we go, going, man, I really suck. And we need to get back on the air because I've forgotten how to be a broadcaster. And I know that I'm going to listen back to this thing and just absolutely cringe. That's why we don't listen back a lot, because it's horrible for both of us.
Yes.
But one thing we need to mention before we wrap up, I wanted to say to you, and I was going to make lots of fun of him if we'd have done this 3 weeks earlier.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you're aware of this. Our buddy Randy Ray, who taught us both half of everything that we know.
Yeah.
Has his own podcast.
Really?
It's on Spotify. It's not actually his podcast, but it's a WT podcast that he runs. And I haven't gotten around to it because I wanted you and I to download it, pick a specific episode, and listen to it together. And then I want to get in touch with Randy Ray just to say, dude, you did a really nice job, but hello, we got there first. We yeah. got there first.
Yeah.
And I when I saw that, it's listed on Spotify. I will get you the link. The first thing I thought was you and I in multi-track for that first.
Yeah.
For that first story in the paper, and him looking at both of us going, what the crap are these idiots doing? And now he's doing it just like us.
Yeah.
Like, that dude has access to actual radio, which I would kill to get back on, and he's podcasting.
Yeah.
That's just wrong.
Yeah. You, amazing.
You literally have nothing to say, do you?
No, it just makes me so happy. I feel like this is the only thing in our lives that we were ever ahead of our time. You know, like we were the ones that were on the front end of this, and we're not the people that are on the front end of anything. And so I'm darn proud of that.
Yeah, and we were way ahead.
Yeah, like, not that it's done anything for us. But we have those bragging rights.
Yes, we do. And I want, like, seriously, when we get out the air, we're going to pick an episode. We're going to listen to it separately. And then we're going to email the dude.
Yeah.
And we're going to say, nice job. But we did this first.
Yeah.
So there's yeah. that.
Absolutely.
That being said, we do need to wrap. A little girl is coming back.
Yes.
So he's got to go.
Should y'all, be here anytime.
Y'all know where all the stuff is. Facebook, Twitter, all that jazz. Come see us. We're having a great time. We will be on the air more. Because
Absolutely.
We hate doing this once every, like, 3 months.
Yeah.
It's insane. Drives me crazy. We will be back. But for now, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. Thank you for listening to this train wreck. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingUncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.